It's time for the Rutherford Report on 101 ESPN.
Anything you folks want to know about the fascinating world of pro hockey, here we go.
With Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson and Anthony Stalter, let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by our guy Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. At JP Rutherford is where you can find him on Twitter. JR, what an ending. Not a great one, obviously, for the Blues. We were discussing this earlier. I've never seen anything like it. Neither of these guys. Have you ever seen an ending in a hockey game that is anywhere close to that?
No, some crazy endings, but nothing like that. And I think they got the call right. But even if you look at the footage, I mean, it's not clear cut, at least what I saw, the view that we had, that there was some white between the line and the puck. Now, they said that they had that overhead in the goal there. So I'm sure they get a good view of it. I'm sure they made a good decision, but I've never seen an ending like that.
JR, on initial blush, first real game, we saw the exhibition against the Blackhawks, and certainly that this game was better than that one. But first impression, I mean, what did you think about the Blues? And obviously first period impression might be different than the rest of it.
Yeah, and I got to give some context here, because I think when you're critical of the way they play, people say, hey, look, it's their second game. They played an exhibition game the other day. This is their first round-robin game. The round-robin games don't mean anything. I get it. However, they looked pretty good in the training camp, moving the puck, getting up ice. You know, they're not hitting, but they're getting in on what is supposed to be the forecheck, you know, in practice as much as they can do it. You know, they were looking forward to playing a game against another team. They were not there, missing in action against the Chicago Blackhawks. Okay, mulligan time. They had 2 days of practice, and we asked David Perron, can you just turn it on? Can you turn on that forecheck? And he said, look, you guys, for obvious reasons, can't watch the practices here. You don't know how up-tempo, high-intensity these past 2 days have been. And then so to see them come out last night the way they did, and it stretched into the second period before they started playing well, it's early. They're just getting their legs under them. I get it, but I just thought that we'd see a better Blues team last night, Brad.
And so there is enough time here, right, for that to happen. A couple of games, don't you think, over the course of the next 6 days, it would be enough to get them ready by the time they've got to play some actual elimination hockey?
I think so, and I think that Craig Berube touched on it today in his Zoom call. He said, look, I played the game, so I understand how these players think, and perhaps in their head they're thinking to next week when the first round starts, which is fine. The only thing is, and this was a really good thing for the Blues last year, it was, we'll be fine. It didn't matter what happened. They lost the game. We'll be fine. And guess what? They were fine. So if you have that ability to come back and play the right way, it's ingrained in you that you're always going to be fine. And I just want to caution, preface by saying this is a new year. Magic doesn't happen every year. And this is totally different with the way the tournament is. And some of these teams that are sneaking in, like Chicago and Montreal, they're playing really well. So, yeah, these games don't mean anything. But, you know, when you're down 0-2 in the first round series, are you going to hear the we'll be fine? You know, I just think that you need to take these games serious, which I'm sure they are, and get to their game quicker. That's what we talked about for months and months. Get to your game really quick, because this is a different tournament, and they're not getting to their game very quick.
Jeremy Rutherford is our Blues insider with The Athletic, and he joins us right now here on 101 ESPN. If they don't find their game soon, and they do get to that first round of the postseason, do you know if there's a certain team or two that they absolutely don't want to see then, JR? Is it a bad matchup if they can't get to their game, or it doesn't really matter?
Well, if for the people that read The Athletic that said that where I said that the Chicago Blackhawks would be the easiest matchup, can I take that one back?
Sure.
Because they've been playing really well. And I said that Nashville would be the hardest matchup, and they have not played as well. So that's the thing. You just couldn't predict what these teams were going to look like after such a long layoff. So the other factor is this. Who you can play. Just no idea. Where are they going to finish in the 1-4 seedings? And then who's going to win those first round matchups? It's all over the board in terms of who you could play. And we have to keep in mind that these games, like the Blues, these teams, they've only played the one game. So who knows which way these series are going to go. But I know this is cliche, but with the Blues and how talented they are and the resiliency they have, to me, the cliche rings true. It really is more about them and finding their game than it is worrying about some other things, because if they're playing well, they can beat anybody.
JR, you know, the funny thing for me is, and maybe this is counterintuitive because it has a lot of people doing something right as opposed to just one. But if things were like flipped, if I thought the Blues had gotten to their game early and we saw that and we're seeing them generate offense and everything is going, yet on the flip side, Jordan Binnington looked like Swiss cheese, I would be way more nervous at this point. At the very least, that guy looks locked in.
It's incredible. It really is. And I've probably mentioned this before, but I'll go back to it, is he was on a Zoom probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And we asked him, was 2 weeks of training camp enough time to get your game together after being off the ice and not seeing shots? Not only is he not skating, he's not seeing shots for that entire quarantine time. And he, you know, typical Jordan Binnington, he said, "We'll see." And we sat there on the Zoom and we're like, okay, he's going to say something else and kind of add to that answer a little bit. And there's just this pregnant pause. And so we moved on to the next question. You know, that's who he is. That's his thing. And we see that he's playing really well. You know, that game is a lopsided loss last night. If not for Jordan Binnington, he's really locked in early on. And you're right. That's a good thing. You know, if you had to pick between the two, team playing well, goalie doesn't look good, or vice versa, I think you'll take the goalie playing good, and then the team will come around.
Earlier today, Craig Berube spoke about that line with Tarasenko and Shen and Schwartz and how important it's going to be and how much they need to gain possession of the puck, which is a simple idea that it didn't happen enough last night for them, he says, and that it's got to get better. My question is more specifically about Tarasenko, and it's something we talked about earlier. I'd like to get your take on it. For somebody who had been out for, you know, since November, I mean, that's a very long time that for him to be out. Everybody else is out for about 4.5-5 months. Is there much of a difference for him having been out like 4 months more than everybody else is, or is he about on the same in the same place that everybody else is because they've all missed a bunch of time?
Yeah, I've asked that exact question to people around the team and in hockey, and they all say, yes, it is harder for him having been out since that injury and since the surgery in November. Yeah, these other guys are rusty, and they've been out 4+ months, but it doesn't necessarily put them on an even playing field because they've played 71 games this year, and this team hasn't. Tarasenko hasn't. So I think the way I look at it is you do give Tarasenko some time. However, Craig Berube even acknowledged it a couple nights ago, guys. He said he wants to see Tarasenko get a little more involved, and it's easy for us to say, but, you know, test that shoulder. And until he does that, I don't think he's going to feel comfortable with his game. The other thing is he led the team in shots in that exhibition game. He was looking pretty good there. But then last night, that line, just two shots, even strength, Shen and Schwartz. Craig Berube, as you touched on, Ron, he said that they just didn't get in the zone. They didn't do good things with the puck. It's kind of a one-and-done situation, turnover, and be back away. Those guys only played about 13, 14 minutes, which is insane when you look at the timesheet after the game. So they're going to have to play a lot better for the Blues to progress.
A couple more things with Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider with The Athletic here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. JR, some of the other players, Vince Dunn, what are your observations on Vince Dunn? What are your observations on some of the other guys that we haven't asked you about? Obviously, we hit on Tarasenko and Binnington, but either some guys that heading into the postseason you were interested in watching, or again, like a guy like Dunn who would miss some time. What were your observations first game in?
Yeah, I touch on Dunn. It was a surprise that he played last night. It really was, because we talked to Craig Berube the day before, and he did say everybody's available, but he said, hey, look, guys, Vince Dunn's missed a lot of time. We'll work him in there. We'll get him in there. And so you kind of got the vibe, the impression that it might be a game or two before we see Vince Dunn. But he told Craig Berube that he was ready, and I thought he looked pretty good. Played about 15 minutes, and he skates well, and that's what you need against a team like Colorado. So, you know, he's not, after missing 10 days of practice, he's not that you expect to see once he gets going. But I think it was a really good first step to get him in there. And, you know, just in terms of some other people, I don't know that anybody sticks out that we need to single out. I just think that as a whole, up front, as Craig Berube touched on today, you know, kind of with that line, but the forwards in general, they just need to get the puck deep and put the puck in good spots and go on the hunt and get in on that forecheck. We're just not seeing it through the two games that they've played so far.
JR, obviously the bubble concept to this point is working. It's working very, very well. You get thousands of tests. You have no positives. Things are great. I wanted to clarify something, though, and maybe you can help me with this because I don't know if it's still up in the air. I thought I had read a couple of weeks ago that as this gets further and further, maybe it's even when you get to the Stanley Cup final, that they might end up opening the bubble to families. Is that something that might happen? Because I would have a concern about doing that at some point.
Yes, that was negotiated between the union and the league, and I believe it's the semifinals, right before you get to the Stanley Cup final is when they're going to allow the families in there. And yeah, you think about it, it probably does bring some concern, especially with all the success that they've had so far with the bubble. Yeah, you just mentioned it today. Again, the league announces zero positive tests. Now, I have heard that some of the Blues players don't intend to bring their families up. They just think it's too much work, you know, for the effort. You know, if you get knocked out, all of a sudden you're turning around and coming right back home. So, but the fact that some people will be allowed in there, does that put in jeopardy what they've been able to accomplish so far? You know, I'm sure it is. But when they were trying to hammer that thing out at the 11th hour and get that deal done, that was one of the things that the players were really hung up on. So you would not have had a deal if you wouldn't have put that in there.
Yeah, and so far, so good. I mean, BT mentioned all the tests. There were 7,031, I believe, was the exact total, and they've had zero positive cases. Number one is the bubble, but also you've got players who are adhering to it. Have they been, as far as you can tell, have they been okay with this? Are they taking on the attitude of this is what we have to do and we're just going to do it and there's not going to be any slip-ups here?
Well, there's no casinos in the bubble, so I think that's one thing that's been helping them out. But
what are you saying?
they've talked about it for weeks here. They had meetings and they looked at each other and said, look, guys, this is what it's going to take to get up to Edmonton healthy and safe. We need everybody on board. And, you know, I talked to Alex Pietrangelo about that and some of the other players, and they all said that, you know, it really resonated with the players and not just the Blues. I mean, gosh, you would imagine 5, 6, 10, 12 positive tests among 700, 800 players, and it's just not happening. So obviously the bubble is the way to go. And I know it's tough for the other sports to pull off, but it's been really successful with the NHL and the NBA. And the credit goes to the leagues for setting it up, but also more so, I think, for the players for following through on it.
Make sure you give Jeremy Rutherford a follow on Twitter, at JP Rutherford, if you haven't already. Check out his great work throughout the course of the Blues playoffs. JR, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
That's Jeremy Rutherford here on 101 ESPN. We will do the Sports Six-Pack next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.